people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fairs, another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways and so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line. There's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Sil Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605.
Los Angeles, welcome to Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host, Edward Solis. What a good week it's been. It's been like a Sound City Van Nuys week with the new movie coming out and the Sound City players playing around town. Wanted to just thank James Rota, the producer of Sound City, for coming in last week. That was really special and awesome. And, you know, we took some great calls. And I know they're going to be playing Kimmel tomorrow night. So I told the guys I'd mention that. And that's going to be Grohl, Springfield, and I believe Fogarty is going to be doing it. But we're fast forwarding to the present. And tonight it's like a Side One Dummy special edition because I'm like immersed in Side One Dummy talent with Joe Sib. How are you, Joe?
Great to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really stoked you're here. I mean, between all the stand-up comedy, the label, your show,
Lots of shows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the Complete Control Radio.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're going to be here for the first half, and then we got Eric Griffin, who's releasing a comedy CD.
Our first comedy record ever on side one.
So is that going to be the beginning of a new trend?
I got into stand-up, it's about 4 years ago, and I just wanted to find a way to maybe get back on stage. And the way that it was leading to, I was going to do reunion shows with my band.
Wax.
Did some shows with Wax. That was fun. But like being in your 40s, what isn't fun is like moving the drums around after the show.
Or the cabs.
Yeah. Or
up and down steps.
Oh my God. And that Ampeg bass amp, that never was fun. I hate that thing.
Just the head. How much is it? Even if you're in shape, it's a lot, right?
Yeah. And I had a hernia 3 years ago. And when I went in to get my hernia surgery, even the doctor said to me, he was like, how did you do this? And I go, I don't know. I was moving stuff around. He's like, what were you moving? And I was like, I used to be in a band. And he was like, really? What'd you do in the band? I was like, I was the singer. And he's like, singers don't move anything. Even the doctor knew that. And I was like, no, I read Henry Rollins, Get in the Van. You know, we move shit. That's what we do.
That's the blueprint, right? Yeah. It's a team.
And he was like, you need a hernia surgery, which I'll just tell you right now, for anyone listening, there's nothing cool about having hernia surgery. That just says you're old and your body is tired. There's nothing cool about it. Like if you break your arm, you can lie. You know, a hernia is a bum out. That's what old men get. But I was just looking for a way to get back on stage. And what ended up happening was different bands. Is that Eric Griffin here right now? Yeah.
How are you?
Eric Griffin in a leather jacket.
That's pretty Los Angeles.
You know, man,
I like it.
You know, Eric Griffin, though, is getting more punk rock each time I see him. Seriously,
Is there a side one dummy conversion happening?
I don't know what's happening. He asked me the other day for bleach. He's like, I want to bleach my hair, man. I'm like, I don't know.
Are you going to convince Kevin Lyman to do a comedy stage?
Kevin Lyman already asked me about Eric Griffin coming on the tour. So I don't know. It's happening right now.
Am I on?
Hey, you're on.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm converting side one. That's what's really happening.
It's a comedy.
That's what's going on.
Well, you know what?
Good to see you, Joe.
Good to see you, man. You look great.
Well, thank you for being here, Eric.
Hello.
My name is Eddie Solis.
Eddie, pleasure. You are sweaty as hell. It's hot as hell in here.
It's hotter than hell, like the Kiss album.
It's a breeding ground for germs. That's what I thought of right when I came in.
Oh, exactly. And you have wet wipes just for that. What are we going to be doing?
Hand sanitizer. Yeah, exactly.
Very there circle you go. Jerky right now.
So I want to paint a clear picture for people that don't know, that aren't from the punk scene.
Okay.
That don't know Joe Sib. I mean, obviously, I'm very aware of your band Wax that, you know, started in the 90s, right?
Yep, started in the 90s.
You guys had records on an Interscope.
Yeah.
Record.
That's when there was records, man, and vinyl. And well, there's vinyl now. There's CDs.
But that was before the Best Buy explosion.
Oh, my God.
Out of the box retail.
Yeah.
Very retro.
Jeez.
Very
retro. Yeah, it'll come back. No, it won't. Vinyl's huge right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's Record Store Day.
Yeah, I love Record Store Day.
Record Store Day, for those that don't know, that's the biggest day in independent retail, which eclipses the last Saturday before Christmas. So it's like everyone's, you know, cash cow.
What I love about Record Store Day, just a real plug real quick, is A, the people that pulled together, amazing. And secondly, it's just a shout out and just a way to give back to the music community that still is there for you to go in and be that kid that I was that didn't know that the Ramones weren't brothers, or, wow, what's the Clash? Like, I thought the Ramones were like movie stars, and then the guy at the record store told me they're not, they're really a band. You know, like, you need those people. And like, when you go to a record store, it's nice because you're not cool and you want to ask questions. And it's nice when there's a guy still there to say, you know what you need to check out? You need to check out this brand new record from, and whatever it is, whether it's, you know, a new track from Dead to Me or the Menzingers or something like that. You need those people to turn you on to. And that's what I feel like a record store is. And, you know, we can go online and you can find music by yourself.
It's like Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of record stores and physical product? Or just
yeah, that's
download?
What I'm saying, though. Remember, like back in the day, you would go to Radio Shack and this person knew what the hell they were talking about. You know, that's the same kind of thing. So when you go to a record store, it's the same that you want that guy behind the counter that's like, you're like, hey, you know, you pick it up and they go, oh, man, what an album. You know, they already heard it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why? They're like, oh, then they know the producer's name. And then they have a story about like when they went to a concert in 72 and they knew this person and that person. It's kind of that homey feeling. You don't have that anymore.
It's the local tastemaker.
Yeah. It's also having that person. It's also having that person that, you know, I feel that that almost makes you go, like, you think you're on the path of discovering new music, and then they're like, you know what, I'm going to lay on you right now. And like, as a kid, I remember the guy behind the counter is like going, you are buying AC/DC Highway to Hell. I'm like, but I don't know if I want that. No, you are leaving with this because Bon Scott is the greatest singer. And I was like, okay.
Right. Well, check it out. If you don't go to a car dealership and just go, I'm going to get this car, and no one talks to you, and you just walk out of there with that car. So it's the same thing. When you go to a record store, you want the part, you want a salesman. You want a person that comes and goes, they know everything about the record. They know, you know, you just, you're going to get a t-shirt. You're going to get the concert information.
You're going to get a fan turning you on to what they're
right,
into.
Right.
Exactly.
Is Sidewind Dummy putting out anything for Record Store Day?
You know
any
what?
Exclusives?
You know what? As of now, what I got to ask Jamie, because I know that we always pull together different vinyl releases. I think we're doing a Gaslight Anthem box set.
It's on 420 this year.
We're doing a Gaslight Anthem box set. That's what we're working on right now. We took all their singles and we pulled them together, all the singles that they released while we were working together, all of that. And it comes together in this really cool, like, box leather. It's a lock on it and a great thing on top. And it's very, very cool. And all the 7 inches are inside. You know, so that's what we're doing.
Some documentation going down. I love
there
it.
There you go, right there. So, okay, not like the profile shot. There you go.
So, Joe, when you started Sidewind Dummy,
yes.
I mean, you had Flogging Molly, you know, some 22 Jacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the first band that we ever, the guinea pig was 22 Jacks. Right. And then from there, it went to the first, you know, we signed a lot of different bands, but the first band that ever really, like, took off for us and gave us the opportunity to, like, I guess, get our name out there was Flogging Molly. They gave us the shot that we needed. Because no one would really give us a shot to put their record out up until that point.
You had to do it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we my partner and I, Bill Armstrong and I, we've been together 18 years, and we always joke around that we knew at that time that we were rad, but no one else did, because we were just two guys that were really into music, you know? And I remember, you know, we were trying to sign bands, you know, and they ended up going to Fat Records. They ended up going to Epitaph because, you know, you had Brett Gurewitz from Bad Religion. You had Fat Mike from NoFX. They were able to offer a tour, you know, hey, go out on the road with NoFX, go out on the road with Bad Religion. We didn't have those opportunities. And then what ended up happening was when we started to work with Flogging Molly, what we were able to prove was that we could sell some records and really take a band from zero to, you know, 50 and all the, you know, everything in between. And that was the thing that we kind of had to prove, because we weren't able to just assign a band and say, we'll put you on this great tour. We had to actually be like, we're going to sign you and we're going to put your record out. And then we're going to, you know, take you on the road. We're going to figure out opportunities for you, which is harder to do. But in the end, it definitely paid off.
Labor
and
of love.
He's still doing it.
And he's still doing it. Yeah. And that's my question. I mean, so we're here present day with Eric Griffin.
Yeah.
Back in 2002, say, when Flogging Molly was on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Did you, or one of the first Warped Tours that they played, I think, did you know you're going to be putting comedy records out? Was that part of the big plan?
You know what? Like I've always been into comedy. I mean, for me, one of the first records my dad ever played for me, you know how we were talking about, like, the record store guy? For comedy, that was definitely my dad. He definitely, you know, you got to check out George Carlin. You know, it was Class Clown live at the Santa Monica Civic, and he's got the vest on, and or the, you know, the no shirt and the long hair. And hearing that record and those stories that he would tell about growing up, Bill Cosby, all that stuff. Like, I was always really, really into that. I was always into the set. It was Saturday Night Live, you know, stay up late, watch that. But I, as far as putting out comedy records, that only was something that, you know, happened about four years ago when I started, you know, getting into comedy and doing stand up and meeting different people. I didn't plan on being the guy to go, whoa, that guy's really good. Whoa, that person could be really good. While you're sitting there waiting to go on in these clubs, you know, and you have to wait and the one guy goes up and then the next guy goes up, I just kind of started putting that hat on. And when I saw Eric, you know, I remember the first time, I don't even know if Eric remembers this. I remember the first time I saw him was at Laugh Factory, and it was the first night they put me on at Laugh Factory. And
was that the first time you guys met?
That was the first.
How long ago was this?
This is
not that long ago.
Almost 2 years ago.
It was?
Yeah, it was almost 2 years ago.
Man, time flies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was on a show. And we were just standing there together, and, you know, I kind of didn't really know, like, where do I go? Where do I wait? What do I do? And Eric was on the show, and he's like, yeah, man, you go upstairs. I'm like, okay, cool. And, you know, just, you know, sitting there hanging out. And then he got up there, and I was like, oh shit. Like, man, I swam out way too far. Like, it's big out here, you know? And all these, you know, you got the Chris D'Elias and the Dane Cooks. You know, it's like, the only analogy I could use was like a surfing analogy. When you paddle out and from shore, it looks like, oh, that's doable. And then you get out and dudes have helmets on.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, I'm in over my head, you know? And Eric was just cool to me. And we were on more and more shows. And
you guys did a lot of shows post that first encounter.
Look, let me tell you the real real story.
Let's hear it.
Okay. The real story is Joseph is the most infectious dude. Like, just like his energy.
Positivity.
Like his positivity. Because I could have done a record on Comedy Central Records. I could have done a record on something that more
stand-up records.
More conventional label.
Absolutely.
But this guy and the people that work at Side One are the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now. And I think that it's going to be 1,000 times better just because of their energy, their enthusiasm. And it's infectious to me. And it's making, like, I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing a lot of these kind of things. And people are digging it, you know?
Right.
And the thing, too, is, like Joe hasn't been in comedy that long. But there was something about I trusted his instincts. Because when I first heard the sound recording, I was like, I hate this. We can't put this out, you know? And this guy's like, trust me, man. And I was like, I said to myself, okay, here, you go edit it how you think and then play that for me. And the response I've been getting has been fantastic. And I'm just telling you. And that's why his record label has been going on for so long. That's why the bands that come there, they end up being successful. Even if they go on to do other bigger and better things, they think.
They build a great foundation there.
They build a foundation with this guy right here.
Absolutely.
And I encourage everyone, go out and buy some Side One records. Go out and support this little label, because it's the little label that could and start on March 12th with my album. Technical Foul Volume 1.
One thing I got to say though.
The thing that Eric, one thing I will say too is that
I've worked with a lot of different artists, you know, frontman in a band.
Yeah.
You know, that's your main
guy.
Some
of those guys could be high maintenance.
Dude, when I think of working with Dickie Barrett or the Boss Tones or Dave King, Flogging Molly, Brian Fallon, I mean, these guys have visions and they have their way of doing things.
Right.
And when I started working with Eric, I remember going, okay, you know, I know Eric, but, you know, I've never made a record with him, you know, and I was wondering what the learning curve might be with Eric and him, being able to understand, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to, you know, this is what I want to try to achieve. And I remember, well, are we live right there? There we go. Check it out.
And I pressed the link and it went live.
And it's playing.
These phones are amazing.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
That was amazing. Sorry about that. Unprofessional.
Go on, Joe. No, the thing I was going to say was,
what a diva. I want to hear myself.
Yeah. On the earphones and on the radio.
I'm doing it, I want to. I'm sorry about that.
The thing I was going to say was, there was a moment where Eric was tripping on the record. He's like, dude, I don't know, man. Like, is this stuff even funny? And I said what he said. I go, you know what, dude? I'm going to tell you right now, everyone goes through this. And we started to walk through it. And then he goes, you're the producer, produce it. And then I go, okay. And that was the last time. It was like, all right, I'm going to push it as far as we can. But the thing is, though, with this particular record is that, I mean, when he says edit it, like, it's one, we taped two shows, but the first one had that magic, and it was just one of those nights where everyone was there and it just hit, and his energy was great. Like, from the moment he comes out on stage, you know, he's like, we're doing this. Like, he was fired up, and it just really kept the audience in there. And there really wasn't a lot of work to do on our end, and it really all came together. So for our first release, you know, it was definitely, you know, there's those moments where you're like, this is a special night. And when you hear the record, it captured that whole night, that whole energy. It wasn't like, then we took four different shows, which is totally common. People do that all the time. We were just fortunate. You know, he was prepared and we were on a shoestring budget, which he was totally aware of. So I think he knew we needed to nail it.
I don't even know if it was a shoestring. Eric, and tell me about
understatement of the year.
And what about the material that you crafted for that record?
I mean, first of all, I'm a very visual comic, so I had to pick material that can translate through just sound, you know. So, and then there's been material that I've been doing, and I also picked some stuff that I know that couldn't necessarily get on network television or like even cable, some of the bits, but it's still, if you heard it like that, like you were at a show, it was like an experience at a show. So I'm glad that we did do what we did. I'm glad that it was just one show. So hit or miss, it was, you're at that show when you're listening to it. And so, you know, we've let some people listen to it, some of the press type people, and the responses that they've been telling me as I've been doing the interviews have made me feel like, wow, we really did something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah. We definitely capture something tonight, because the thing that I like about, for me, comedy is about, it's about the things that I love is about someone giving that different, you know, set of eyes to what they're seeing. And you know, on the record without giving it away, you know, there's a big topic of diversity on there. And there's also a topic of just people taking themselves too seriously and what they say is too serious. And he, and Eric really touched on all those topics well and funny and witty and smart. It's not just like bits that I don't think will hold through the test of time. They're bits that I think, you know, 10 years from now, you could put this record on and go, oh, man, that
is timeless.
Funny. It's timeless.
It's not dated to this period.
There's a few bits on there. Yeah, there's a few bits on there that, you know, that definitely are, you know, about right now, whether it's, you know, in regards to a television show or reality show. But there's also, like, I think the meat of the record, like when he's talking about diversity and stuff like that, I think he nails it. And I think that could last longer than, you know, just, you know, a few listens, you know, right. It would be something you could put on later on and be like, oh God, that is funny.
And I have a question for you. Coming from a musical background, performing live, mm-hmm. years at different venues, yeah. big and small, all that stuff. How was it the first few times you did stand-up comedy and you couldn't hide behind the volume?
Were
you scared shitless?
You know what?
That's going to be the name of Joe's first album.
What? Hide behind the volume.
Hide behind the volume.
I love that.
Done. Done. I'm serious. That was right
here,
there.
You come here, it's all intuitive. It's the intuitive energy down. From Joe Sim.
I'm ready to write that down.
It's the intuitive triangle. Yeah. That's what's happening here.
Yeah. Hide behind the volume. That's like a tattoo, too. Hide behind the
with the four bars.
Like,
with
that's
the four
like,
bars.
Yeah, that's like an MMA. That's an MMA. Like a subsidiary company of.
I'm going to go. Hold on. I'm going to email my intellectual property lawyer really quick.
Oh, come on.
You bastard.
I know what I'm doing. Anyways. So tell me.
You know what it was? You know, being, I think coming from punk rock, and you know this, like, I remember one time I wanted to get up at the Improv and a guy, this agent friend of mine at one of the agencies, I was like, he'd seen me do some shows here. He'd seen me do some shows there. I was doing stuff at the Largo and I was ready. I was like, I want to go up at the Improv. I want to do a set at the Improv. And he said to me, are you crazy? Go to the Improv. And I was like, yeah, I want to do, I've been there. I've seen people do sets. I think I'm ready. And he goes, I've seen guys die on that stage. And I said, all right. And he goes, no, I've seen guys die. You get up there one night, you make one wrong move. You have a bad set. It's over for you in this town. That audience will kill you. I said, whoa. I go, hey, check it out. Are there dudes, skinheads in bomber jackets there? And he goes, no. And I go, will there be dudes in the audience that they don't like me? They will get up on stage, pull me off the stage to the back of the club and kick my ass. Can that happen there? And he goes, no. And I'm like, well, then I'm fine. I'm ready to go. Cause that's what I'm used to. I'm used to like if
the turf of the punk
dude,
scene.
If you when I was a kid growing up, I remember playing at the Farm in San Francisco. We're in it. We're playing a show. It's going down. We're opening up for Verbal Abuse. It's happening. And I remember I did a stage dive and these dudes took me to the back of the room and I was like, whoa, man, like, I wonder where we're going. And suddenly I couldn't hear my own band. I was like, wow, man, like that's our jam. But now I'm far away from those guys. And these dudes put me on the ground and started jumping on me.
And I
was still being cool. Like, whoa, man, maybe this is like, maybe we're gonna have our own pit over here. You know, like maybe this is
like
private.
Optimistic, like, hey, these guys are still cool.
Dude, I was still saying, this is cool. And then when I realized it wasn't cool was when the band kept playing and I literally ran back on the stage. I remember I said to the band, I'm like, damn, dude, why didn't you guys come and get me? And they're like, dude, we were scared of those guys. You know, and it's like that was just part of it. And
so you're calloused.
So I think it was? I think for me, when I first started getting on stage with stand up, it was just like, you know what? I just want to get up here, try to make some people laugh and split. But doing stand up in LA though, man, it's like I said, with guys like Eric around, you have to know like it's either gonna end really quick or end really bad, you know. So I think you gotta come prepared.
So what shows did the new record that's coming out on the 12th.
Yep.
What locations was it recorded at?
I did it at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Okay.
You know, San Diego area.
Right.
It's a great crowd, you know. It's just like a magical night, you know. It was like, again, you know, you have to, if you have somebody like a cheerleader, like a coach, like a motivator like Joe here, so you just tell him, you know, it's going to be great, man. You know, you hear how he talks. He's like, it's going to be great. You know, we're going to do it. And then it's going to be there.
He's creating his world. He's putting the words out there.
You just kind of like, okay, you believe it. And that's, you know, there's something about positive energy. And so
absolutely,
it was that's a great venue, though. It's a world famous venue, you know, the Comedy Store.
And they really took care of us, too. They were like from the moment Eric put me in touch with everyone down there, they were just like, it almost got to the point where I was like, are they being... are they like so cool or just really unprofessional? Because they're like, yeah, man, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to come down, we're going to record. And I'm used to like,
pay us $8,000 to set up a board.
And the guy, the manager, he was like, yeah, no, man.
That was Joe charging me this time.
Yeah. They were like,
he's invoicing you, huh?
Yeah. They were like, they were just cool, man. And, you know, they took care of us and we went down there. People that recorded it were awesome, and they
it all went down in the
main
county.
Yeah, down there in La Jolla. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was good times.
Yeah, I remember that night when we got done too. I was gonna maybe stay down there. Like, yeah, I'll get a hotel room and I'll stay. But when we got done with the show, I was so stoked, and I had the masters
five all the way.
And I asked Leah, hey, can you burn me a CD? And she's like, yeah. So I'd already listened to it like twice by the time I got home. And Eric's like, the next day, I'm like, dude, this part. He's like, you've already listened to it? I'm like, yeah. You know, like,
I just listened to it, playing it for people, you know?
Yeah, I did.
I had my friend in the car, and I said, hey, could you listen to this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, let's talk about your show coming up next week.
Let's talk about it.
What? Tell us where it's at.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
March 11th.
Your record release show.
That was his the segue for me. And I'm like, okay, what does he want to talk about? Oh, March 11th at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, 8 o'clock. Come to the Laugh Factory. I'm just going to do a show with Joe and Grant, who also, I believe Grant's
on side one as well.
Yeah, he's going to make an album too.
Oh, he's on side one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're
it's all the comics that are on side one, which are three at this time.
I'm telling you, you guys should have your own stage of Warped Tour.
Make
everyone laugh.
Yeah, you know what, Kevin?
Or just host it, or just be like around doing stuff. You know how you have jugglers and things?
You know what though? Eric's been talking a lot about that, is that, you know, tell him about the band you met and like, just,
yeah, you know, I'm all about
especially
like
with Workaholics. All these bands love that show.
Yeah, sure. I see these bands. Like, what was the name of that? Passion Pit.
Yep.
I was in Chicago in a hotel, and this guy's come up to me and they're like, hey, man, oh my God, Montez, can we take a picture? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, we're at Lollapalooza. Yeah. They gave me their backstage pass, and I was like, oh, thanks, guys. I don't know how they were. Until like later, they tweeted about it, and then my friends hit me up like, dude, Passion Pit. And I'm like, who's that? And then they're the kind of band that you know their song, but you don't know their name. So then when I heard their song, I was like, are you kidding me? Why didn't I? You know, say more. So like then the Black Keys were on the Workaholics. And like, I remember they did a cameo, and I remember the guy from the Black Keys is walking out because they wrapped him. He's done. He's walking towards me. I'm walking towards him. I'm reaching for my camera, and he's reaching for his because he wants to take a picture with me. And I was like, I want to take a picture with you. So there's something about music and what I'm doing. And so like, you know, I did a song. It's a crazy R&B song, but I really want to do like some more music and comedy. And this is what a great way to like, you know, be on side one.
That's the thing that we're kind of talking about, like, you know, in the future. Cause like Eric can sing. Like,
really?
Straight up bust a jam.
Can we do a cappella bit right now?
He could.
Can someone throw a beatbox?
Beatbox? Is it 1982 right now?
It's retro. You know?
A beatbox.
Vinyl's back. Beatbox is back.
There was a song that Eric did on Workaholics that he sang on, you know, like wrote, did the whole thing. And what we're talking about is like the follow-up of
I
what
want
we might do.
Because it's Technical Foul Volume 1. I want Volume 2 to be a...
Music. Jams.
You know?
And I have a whole
idea.
We'll
see what happens. Because I love the bands on the label. You know, like the Restorations and, you know, they might make a song for me.
Restorations actually...
Yeah, baby.
Asked Eric and Restorations talking about doing something together, like a 7-inch.
There's possible collaborations.
Oh, absolutely.
Coming up.
Side one's going all the way, man.
Yeah, all the way.
You should release that on vinyl. His stand-up
comedy
record
on
vinyl.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We will do it on vinyl.
Retro.
He'll put Mr. Record Exec on right now.
Well, you know what?
Here's the thing about...
Well, you know what's funny? You just saw me putting it on. Like, yeah. I seriously...
Well, as you were saying that, he was like, well, you know, there's costs involved. We have to... This guy, don't get him started on all
that. Record Store Day's April 20th.
That would be something.
Record Store Day's 420. You could do the Eric Griffin comedy record on vinyl with rolling paper, like the Cheech and Chong style.
Weed in it. Yeah. There we go.
Well, you know what? Someone with as much experience as you, Eric, and traveling and touring, tell me, when you're on the comedy circuit, how different does the audience vary from city to city? Do you just see like certain people responding to certain material that maybe they wouldn't have in LA? Do people seem more appreciative
sometimes? You know what? I don't think of it like that, but LA is a very spoiled town anyway.
For everything, I think.
They're star fuckers, you know what I mean? Like, just, they're just...
Everyone's in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's
just, doing... So, you're on a show, it doesn't matter. They're like, oh, is that basic cable? That, you know, yeah. It's like, I only want network, you know? Girls in this town are just full of shit, okay? You know, the problem with chicks in LA is
Tell
that
me.
They think that their hotness is equivalent to my career. You know what I mean? And if your only commodity is your vagina, look around. There's 2 billion others that have the same kind. You
it's
know what I mean?
Ocean. It's a big ocean.
Don't get me started. My bitterness is going to come flowing out.
No, this is the positive show, right?
All I'm just saying is, so when I'm out of town, I don't think of it like that because I think like I'm bringing an experience. So I'm not trying to change for them. I'm trying to show them
You're
what
doing
I
your
am.
Show.
I'm doing my show.
Yeah.
And they're either going to enjoy it or they're not going to enjoy it. It just, overall, I think I get a good response. So,
how many years have you been doing comedy now?
This is my 10th year, actually. So 2003 is when I quit my job and was like, you know what? I don't want to wake up 50 and be like, I didn't follow my dreams.
Right. Now tell me about your influences.
One of my favorites ever, probably a hero, is like, and there's like a rumor that he was dead today, Eddie Murphy.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, he was in a skiing accident. And then the blogs got a hold of it. And it was like, Eddie Murphy dies while skiing, you know, with his family in like Switzerland or something. But no, he's all right from what I understand on Google. But who knows? You can't believe the internet. So, yeah, but I
only
really
when
like,
it's a good review.
Yeah, I know, right? All the reviews of my album that are good are real.
Yeah.
So I really loved Eddie Murphy when I was a kid, just watching
Raw.
Saturday Night Live and Raw, and like, you know, especially Raw more than Delirious for me. And so that, and then after that, I was like, wow, you know, you just think, man, it was always in my head, you know. And then I like people like Sinbad and George Carlin, and you know, so many different influences. And then I like people that I know today. I like my friends, you know, I like my buddies, you know, like Dwayne Perkins is a funny comic. My buddy of mine, Ian Edwards, is a funny comic.
Love Ian Edwards.
Yeah, Johnny Sanchez from he was on Mad TV. He's a funny comic. Sebastian Maniscalco. I mean, these are guys that I know. They're my friends. I can sit and watch them. So I still enjoy comedy, too. So, you know, I have a lot of influences, but, you know, it's all part of the whole thing, you know.
Right. Let's talk about your upcoming dates coming up. You just came off a bunch of dates.
Yeah, this is like my eighth week. I just taped my first half-hour special for Comedy Central. I just did that in Boston at the Royal Theater this past Thursday. So this week I'm going to be at Portland. I'm going to be up at Portland Helium in Portland. So coming out for that Wednesday to Saturday, I believe. Yeah. Wednesday to Saturday. So I'm looking forward to going out to Portland because now that that's behind me, that like, you know, all the preparing for the specials behind me, now I can have fun again. I think I'm a much better stand-up when I don't have that, like, you know, God, I'm preparing, you know, that preparation thing. But I'm doing that. I got a bunch of days. I'm going to be in Buffalo. They had that, another Helium, by the way. Tacoma in Seattle, Tacoma Comedy Club there.
And you're working your way up to Canada, right?
Yeah, I already just went to Canada. I was in Edmonton just 2 weeks ago in preparation for the special. So if you go to ericgriffin.com, my schedule is there, and you can. I'll be coming to a city near you. I'm pretty sure of that.
Hey, you know what we found on your site the other day?
What did you find?
Did you ever tell him about that? That you had like your flight info.
Oh, I know. That was like,
what was that about?
No,
I was like, damn, this guy shares everything.
What it is like, I use my Google Calendar, and when you go to united.com,
it syncs everything.
No. When you add it to account, I added it to the wrong calendar. Is that still on there? That's annoying. You gotta make sure that's off.
Because you know what's crazy was
hide from timeline.
Yeah. No,
hide from timeline.
It was one of those things where I was looking on his site,
right?
And one of the kids that worked at Side One, he's like, he's all, you know, Maddie, he's like, yeah, man, Eric's really posting everything. And like, Maddie's one of these like very like, you know, articulate, you know, he's like, why would he put his flight? I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, come down here and see this. And I walk downstairs and I go, what do you mean his flight info's up there? And then you hit on the date, like Eric Griffin will be at the Helium Club. Yeah. And then it says flight 123 United, 2 p.m.
Because I want people to know.
And that's, you know, everything.
At the airport with a parade, bitches. You understand? So I got that flight info up there. You want to pick me up?
That's how I was like, damn, man, he's really, well, I don't know. I guess he wants people to show up, you know, Beatles style.
Beatles style, right? Yeah.
Press conference.
It's Griffin Mania.
Griffin
Mania starts on March 12th with a new record.
Yes, that's hope so.
Now, are you guys taking pre-orders on the Side One Dummy website?
I know the pre-orders start on iTunes tomorrow. Okay. And yeah, so it starts on iTunes tomorrow. It's going to be up there.
It's already on there, actually.
Oh, is it already on there?
Yeah, because I was sharing that link. So you can go to iTunes, search for Eric Griffin, and you'll see like a bunch of other things that I've done. But look for Technical Foul, and you can pre-order.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Hey, Joe, let's talk about your radio show, Complete Control Radio.
Let's talk about
it. How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing Complete Control Radio. I'm on my 9th year in May.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 9 years.
I got to tell you, when you made that move to Star, I was like, wow, they're playing the Germs.
I know.
Bad Religion.
Yeah, Bad Religion. You know what's crazy about that, though, is the woman, Julie Pilot, who ran, you know, Star and was part of Kiss FM. Like, yeah. You know, you would think, okay, you know, that woman would never be into, say, MXPX or The Clash or, you know, Dead to Me or Ramones. So when I was over at Indie 103.1, her and I had met here and there, you know, through just being around. And I didn't realize that she was from Seattle, and her whole background, her early background was all in like MXPX, and like that was one of her favorite bands.
Tooth and Nail, all
that stuff. She was really good friends with a bunch of friends of mine that were up at Fat Records. So her and I were kind of friendly via email. And then when Indie 103.1 went off the air, which was such a bummer, I was like, oh man, you know, because at that point I was on it. I'm on in Austin, Texas on 101X. I'm on in Portland on KNRK. I'm on in Phoenix, LA, Denver. And you know, I didn't want to be like on all those stations, but not in LA. And I reached out to her and she was like, hey, come on over. Let's talk about it. And it was really one of those kind of meetings where like we sat down. And you know, when you get done with something, you're like, so like, are we doing this? And she's like, yeah, you start Saturday. And I remember the first thing I had to do was go out to Coachella. She's like, can you come out to Coachella and, you know, help us do interviews? I was like, awesome. They had this awesome house out there. It was great. Went out there, did it. And then I've been on the air now with them. Gosh, like 5 years or 4 years, 4 years.
I mean, that's really admirable. I mean, because the state of radio these days on the FM dial.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And we know what's going on. And to see you come with a specialty show like that and just spin everything from Black Flag to the Germs, Circle Jerks,
yeah.
You know, your band. It's just really, you know, it's really making a lot of people happy.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's funny about doing that show was, or the best thing about doing that show is people are so passionate about music. And mm-hmm. and you could, you know, you find people, you know, that love classical music. You find people that love jazz music. People that love ska, reggae. Like if you sit down, I don't care, you know, you want to talk about music with someone that I always say, like when you meet someone famous, if you want to like break it down and not have that weird, awkward moment with, say, Eddie Vedder or David Bowie, you just find a band that they like and, you know, you can like, oh man, how much do you love the Kinks? And they're like, oh my God. And they, you know, you start talking about that, you know? And
totally agree.
And you know what I'm saying?
Well,
the thing about doing this show with Complete Control is the people that listen to it, like every Saturday night here in LA, I mean, we come in with a plan to do the show. Like I want to play this, I want to play that. And you know, the show's producer, Maddie, he has all these ideas. But once the show starts, people just start calling and all of the requests, that's what people want to hear in LA. And only one time, like someone was like, yeah, we should mix it up a little bit and you should play a little bit, you know, because we play new school and old school. We mix it up. But we got out of the punk rock, what I call like swimming pool for a second, and played like kind of a newer band that wasn't really meant for the show. That was the only time ever that I got phone calls from people that were like, fuck you, Joe Sib. Like, I love you and I love your show, but if you ever fucking play that band again, I will hunt you. Like, this is, I'm like, yep, won't happen again. Like, you know, like, and we've never, you know, it's their show. As much as I'd love to say, Complete Control, my show, but it really is dictated by everyone.
So you're really giving the people what they want. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Because the requests are, you know, what people want to hear. And the thing I love about it is that we've been able to now put in, like, you know, Eric's been on the show, you know, so many other comics here in Los Angeles have came in and been a part of the show and hung out, because I really believe that, like, right now, comedy in Los Angeles and comedy, you know, just outside of Los Angeles, anywhere you go, like, it is exciting and dangerous right now. Like, and I feel it's replacing an element of music that's not there right now. That's my personal opinion. I go to these shows.
So it's
now,
filling a void.
I feel like I'll go to a show, like there's this show called Best Fish Taco Show in Ensenada. It's down on Hillhurst. They do it like twice a month with this guy named Jeremy Burke. And you go down there and it's just a microphone outside. People and tables and chairs. They pay $2 for Tecate. They buy tacos and they sit there and you know, Patton Oswalt shows up, Aziz Ansari, and just dropping, you know, what the hell is going on? And people are just into it. And it reminds me of going to see, like, when as a kid going into like a basement and you're like, wow, is that DOA playing here? Yeah, they came from Canada. They're playing here. Why? There's nowhere else to do a show. And there's that element of danger.
It's like a DIY kind of spirit. So it's DIY, like alive and well.
And it's happening everywhere. And there's all these, and even in the clubs, there's all these different shows. And, you know, whether it's at the Improv or at the Laugh Factory or Comedy Store, all these places, there's this, right now, there's just so many great comics out there. And I feel that, at least for me, it's replacing an element of if something that might be missing in music right now. I don't know what it is because there's a lot of great music, but there is this, there's this feeling of like, what is this guy going to say? And then also people saying a lot of stuff that's really important that needs to be said right now. And comics are really good at doing that.
Gotcha, Eric. You know, when I announced I was going to have you on, a lot of friends, you know,
Workaholics
came forward.
Fans.
Yeah, and in, you know, blowing up the phone, the email.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, you know, tell me the turning point in your life when you said, I'm going to become a comic.
Well, it really was a matter of like just thinking about like you thinking about doing it and then being like, damn, I wonder if I could do it.
Visualizing it.
And then being like, well, if I don't go try, I'll never know. And that was just something that would eat at me for the rest of my life. I just know it. I just know that if I didn't take the chance, if I didn't go for it, I would be sitting there going, you know, you wake up 50, 60 years old thinking like, oh man, I could have done it, you know, and I didn't want to feel like that, you know. Yeah, I had a bunch of friends would always say, oh, you're so funny. You're a funny guy. I was always the funny guy, you know. So I was like, I don't want to just be the funny guy. Let me go make a living doing this. Let me go, you know, do the same thing that the people that I admire are doing, you know, make it a skill and find out how this is done. And it went from a pipe dream to something that a road to travel. You know, a skill to learn. And then that's when it became really, you know, an adventure, you know. And so, and here I am, you know. So 10 years later, I'm here, I'm on a show. I just did a special and I have an album. So, and I still feel like this is the start, you know. And so it's exciting times, you know. So I tell anybody out there, if you have some kind of passion, go for it. Don't let fear stop you, because that's really what it is. I mean, people are so afraid of failure, so afraid of success, so afraid to lose these meaningless possessions that they have, or like, you know, they don't want to take the chance to be the best they can be, to
step
live
outside
up,
their comfort zone.
Step outside your comfort
Let's
zone.
See if they can really fulfill themselves.
That'll be my third album. Outside the comfort zone.
Well, I gotta write that down. Email the IP lawyer.
Too late. We wrote it down. We called it. Shotgun.
What was the other one?
Yeah. What was the
hide
one?
Behind the volume?
Yeah.
Hide behind
that's,
the volume.
Dude,
you know what? That's
volume.
The side one dummy compilation series, volume 1 through 10 for all the.
I agree.
Like,
do you know
like,
what? I hope Joseph becomes famous, because he's the kind of guy who has a personality that they will do him on Saturday Night Live. You know, did you see him?
Only,
you know,
who would do him? Who
you
would
know,
do him?
It doesn't even matter, because
Eric would do
really
it.
Really excited about here, and you know, and the DOA. And
I love it. I mean, he gets up at 5:30 in the morning, right?
Yeah,
because he's like, you know, solid family man.
Yeah.
Doing your thing.
And there's cocaine downstairs.
No.
No, yeah. Cocaine to work out at. No. I've never done any drugs, ever.
Do cocaine and lift weights for 3 hours?
No.
I swear.
You know what?
I was talking about getting weed, and like I was asking this.
One time a friend of mine was at a party and did a lot of cocaine, and then he grabbed the weights and lifted like for 3 hours, and the next morning he couldn't move.
Wow.
So that happens.
Okay. I bought, when I was a kid, Eric, you'll remember these. Remember Black Beauties?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that? It was like speed.
You might be just a little older.
A little bit. All right. A lot bit. But there was, it was speed. It was called Black Beauties. And I remember in my high school, I was like, this guy's like, dude, you know, you should buy these. I'm like, what is these? He's like, oh man, if you're going to a show, I was going to a show that weekend, you know, somewhere in San Francisco.
Where are you from? San Francisco?
I'm Bay Area.
Bay Area.
San Jose. Grew up going to San Francisco, Santa Cruz. And, a bunch of buddies were like, oh yeah, man, we'll buy Black Beauties and then we'll stay up all night and fucking go nuts in the pit. And I was like, I'd already go nuts in the pit.
Right.
So I'm like, all right. Like, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, like, how much higher could I stage dive? You know, how much more, how many more bands could I run around?
See, I don't drink and I don't do any, I've never done drugs and I don't drink alcohol at all. And it's like, I don't need anything to be stimulated either. Like, I don't feel like, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Most I would do is like, if I drink coffee before I go on stage, I do feel that. I do like that, like, you know, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, I like that, like, because Red Bull doesn't do it for me anymore for some reason.
Oh, God.
You graduated from Red Bull and then Monsters and then the Rockstar Double.
I can't.
You got to go black coffee.
You know, there's nothing better than coffee, apparently.
Yeah, same here.
And I can't,
you know,
do
what?
Any
Starbucks
of that stuff
has this new like vanilla blonde. It's like,
oh, I love it.
It's like it's more caffeine. But anyway,
I'll give you a hot tip.
Uh oh.
Okay.
Starbucks, when you buy iced coffee, it's brewed double strength.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. No calories, no milk, no sugar.
Love it.
Just get a tall one.
I like it with honey.
$1.95. Yeah.
Give me some black coffee with some honey in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll call that the Eric Griffin at Starbucks.
The Eric Griffin. Code word.
Joe, write it down before he calls his lawyer.
Jamie's been taking it all. There
yeah.
you go.
I'm going to, yeah.
You know what ended up happening when I bought the Black Beauties and when I didn't take them because that was the one
That's
time.
That's awesome.
And I didn't take it. But you know what? I came back on Monday morning and went to the dude in the little mustache and Led Zeppelin shirt and said, hey, can I get my money back? And he just looked at me like, what? And I go, yeah, I didn't take the Black Beauties. Can I get my, you know,
You know that.
And he just looked at me like, get the fuck away. You know, I realized there was a no return.
You know that
drugs
look.
And that.
The Led Zeppelin shirt and the small mustache. That's like the huge hipster look now.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Silver Lake, you're styling.
Oh, God. Let me start it.
No, anyways.
Comedy has that whole, you know.
Bay Area.
Bay Area, yes.
Did you ever skate Derby Skate Park?
Oh, my
in
God,
Santa Cruz?
Dude.
Okay,
skated Derby so many times. I skated Derby before there was the rollouts on the side.
87 when
skated
I started.
Derby with Keith Meeks. What's
Slasher,
dude?
Slasher,
bro.
I got a Slasher towel.
Dude.
I may have ordered from Thrasher Magazine.
Keith Meeks.
Keith Meeks.
Gotta give
dude.
A shout
Slasher.
Out to Keith Meeks. He does all of his own graphics right now. He has a new, like
yeah, this guy's big into skateboards. You go to his office.
I got a Thrasher reissue on my house still,
love
like
it.
Just hanging.
Love it.
Yeah, my first board was the Jeff Kendall.
Oh, yeah.
1987.
Kendall runs NHS.
Yeah.
Jeff Kendall runs NHS. There you go.
You know, the hand breaking, like how.
Rob Rostikoff.
How ahead of the curve is this? A graphic where the hand is holding a spray can, breaking out of the brick wall doing graffiti. That's like 87.
Yeah.
You know?
That was all Jimbo Phillips artwork
exactly.
right there.
You know
exactly.
what's funny about skateboarding? Like the pros, the guys that are the best at this, they're all like 75 years old. You notice this?
Well, no, yeah. No, I mean, they're all definitely like
there's
mid,
no young,
40s.
There's like no young people like really dominating that, it doesn't seem. It's all these like really old
Well,
dudes.
I mean, no, I mean like
I'm
the,
just saying,
the
yeah, no, for athletically, I'm saying, yeah, you know, it's like yeah. they're like 30. There might be a guy out there like 42 and they're like, oh, yeah. you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, Alva's still skating and traveling the world and he's like 50 something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like, you know.
Dwayne Peters, Steve Caballero. I had a chance to, a while ago, the X Games used to have me be the guy down on like the Jumbotron, like, hey, I'm down here with Eric Griffin. Eric, right now, you're getting ready to take. Like, I was that guy that entertained the crowd down there.
Of course.
And, and it was great because the reason I did it each year was they did this thing called the Legend Series. And we, you know, during the day, it was all of the, you know, all the
street
you know,
guys.
I didn't do the street. It was all like the Bucky Lasik and all, you know, all of those, you know, the skaters now, you know, the guys that are out there, they're currently on the tour. And that, which was amazing, Bob Burnquist, all those guys. But then the deal was is that they let me host the Legends on Sunday.
That's when I'd be on.
Steve Alba. Oh my God,
Lance
Steve
Mountain,
Alba, Lance
Jeff Mountain, Grosso,
oh my God,
Eric Nash,
yeah, Dwayne you know. Peters, and it was great because I grew up with all those guys,
Neil Blender,
all those guys, and it was great. You know, Chris Miller, ripping, so good. Like
I mean, he's still
like. It was
rules.
Amazing.
The combi competition they have out in Orange at the Vans skate park.
Oh, that's an amazing event.
So skateboarding was a huge component in
everything
your
in my
life.
I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't know.
That was a catalyst for punk rock, right?
This moment wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for skateboarding because up until skateboarding, I was into magic. I was like,
what?
I was a magician. I was a full-on magician.
Oh, God. Tell me, what was your name?
The Great Sibiondo.
What?
Yeah.
This is true.
This is totally true.
Dude, the behind the
where's
scenes.
Where's Jamie at? You know what you should do, Jamie? You should start a Facebook page, fan page for the Great Sibiondo.
Yeah, I got photos.
No, you definitely
I have photos. Brandy Perry, Vicky Leach, they were my assistants. I used to wear a Close Encounter shirt. Blue cords, desert boots, and my mom's Jackie Kennedy white gloves, and I had feathered hair. And,
so rad.
The first show I ever booked was at Art's Pizza, and my dad. This is what's funny. My dad.
Oh, it's all funny, Joe.
And I was so into magic, and my dad and I we'd work on tricks together, and then Doug Henning came through. My dad took me to Tahoe to see Doug Henning, and I met him and went and saw him, and he autographed a picture, and it was.
You need to talk about this on stage.
Yeah,
can you do any magic tricks with anything in here?
You know what? No, I can't.
That's another episode. Yeah, the magic episode.
You know what's funny though? I love magic, but what ended up happening was my parents got separated. When my parents got divorced, my dad moved to the Valley, and I was like, okay, you know. And he's like, you gotta come visit me. There's a skateboard park. You'll love it. And I was like, up until that point, like skateboarding, I was always into skateboarding in the Sevs, but I'd never like skateboarded with other people. Like I never saw a group of skateboarders.
Like hit a session with a bunch of people. Yeah.
So when I go to visit him,
it's a different story.
Yeah. So I go. He picks me up one day. And he says, bring your skateboard with me. So we go down and we drive over the hill 30 minutes and we show up in this parking lot. And I remember we just dropped
in. And the rest is history. Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, what is this? And I was afraid to go in. I had a turtleneck on and feathered hair. I was like, I'm not going in.
There was a white pigeon in his closet that died.
Because he was not being used no more for the act, right?
You know what's funny though? Is that magic, I stopped doing magic for one reason. It was only one reason.
Why?
Because it was nerdy?
I wanted to get laid. No, I wanted to get laid. I realized that the scarves and rings weren't happening with the ladies.
The magicians, I don't know like how big their groupie network is. No.
But it's funny, whenever I go to Vegas.
You're good at it.
You know, whenever you go to Vegas, there's always that like the advertisements for the magicians. Yeah. And there's the Lance Burton. I'm always like, you know, that could have been me.
Could have been me, dude.
Well, no. Sibionator.
Yeah. What was your...
Great Sibiondo.
Great Sibiondo.
You don't get it. That's next. I mean... Yeah. I get
Please don't encourage him. Just stop.
No, you do everything.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Side one dummy.
Yeah.
You do the stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You got your band Wax. Yeah. You skate or die in Glendale. Yeah.
And then I make it...
You're a good family man.
Yeah.
Right?
And then Eric says, make it all disappear.
That's what will happen. Hey, he starts doing magic, this all will disappear.
It will. One way ticket.
You know what Eric would say? Eric would say this. Hey, I got an idea.
One way ticket back to Comedy Central Record. Yeah.
No.
Hey, I got a question for Eric.
First of all, you need to talk about that on stage.
Okay.
I'll say that again.
That's funny.
Okay.
You just talk about being a magician on stage.
Okay. But just add that to your repertoire in 10 years from now.
All right. You're a very personal guy anyway, so revealing that about yourself
is pretty cool.
Hilarious.
I got a question for Eric because you brought this up. And I was like, well, that's a question. Is there a moment, you know, you decide to pursue comedy? Like you said, I'm going to do this full time. I'm not going to, the Jay Leno. I'm doing this.
Like, I'm signing up for this.
Live out of the car, don't care, pay the rent, whatever. But I am not, this is what I do full time. Is there a moment that you remember you're on stage, it's a show or it's a night or something that all of a sudden you go, holy shit, this could happen. Like you've been out there, you've been doing it. Is there a night that you get up the Comedy Store and you crush or someone comes over to you and says something to you that keeps you going?
No, you know, I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was my buddy, Jeff. I think he's even listening to the show right now. My buddy, Jeff Chenette. My best friend. We would do comedy together. And I remember our other buddy, Eric Edwards, he was at an open mic and he says, I'm on the phone with Eric and he says, yo man, I'm going to sign, you want me to sign you guys up? And I go, yeah, sign us up, Jeff. We're going to do this comedy. You want to sign up? He's saying to me, no, he doesn't want to do it. But I go, no, we're going to do it. So I go, sign us up, man. And then as soon as I hang up the phone, my friend Jeff yells at me. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? If you want to be a comic, you be a comic. Don't get me involved with it because I don't want to do it. This is your life. He just yells at me. And the next day, I went to an open mic by myself for the first time, and I never looked back because it was like, then I knew I was like, it was a crutch. Because it was a crutch to be like, hey, you want to go to the open mic?
Yeah.
And then like, if your friend doesn't go, you're like, oh, I don't want to go. Because no, then I was like, when I went on my own, it became like, oh, this is my journey. And then that journey led me to just, you know, keep going, you know? And then it's just every single time, like you would get a laugh, you'd be like, oh, okay, I'm working on this. And I realized that it doesn't matter. You just keep doing it. You keep doing 1,000 shows, 10,000 shows. It doesn't matter. You know, what do they say about like, you become an expert, you have to 10,000 hours. So I always tell people, especially young comics, anybody that's trying to do comedy, it takes 10,000 hours. So at 6 minutes a set, right?
Is that average?
So let's say like 10 minutes. Let's see if it's 10 minutes a set. That would be something like 60,000 sets. What number are you on? That's my whole point.
God.
You know, so just relax yourself. Keep doing it. Keep going. You have to cultivate your career, cultivate relationships, because that's what it's all about. People want to skip steps. That's what's wrong with LA.
That's the problem with, LA in general. Everyone wants to just put a roof on with no foundation.
Yeah, so you have to cultivate. Just like you're growing a plant, it takes time. You got to water it. You got to put it in the right sun. You got to nurture.
And everything he's saying.
Nurture relationships. You nurture your career, and that is the key to success.
And I that's another thing that I just see is that the musician and the comic, it's the
very
same,
linear,
it's
right?
It's the same person. Yeah. It really is. Well, it's the same person, the same drive, whether it's a song or whether it's a bit, whether it's a tour, whether it's a date, whether it's going on the road, you know, with a group of guys or going on the road by yourself. It's all about like, okay, we're going out there, we're going to do this, and we're not going to take no for an answer. We just got to keep going and going and going. And just like a band, you know, you get done with a show and it was epic and everyone's high-fiving each other, but you still have to take that energy and that night, you know, from Milwaukee to Chicago and then to Detroit. And I feel it's the same way. And even with...
It's the same headspace, right?
It really is. And I even feel like, you know, I even feel like, you know, like when you're talking to comics about writing and stuff, like, it's funny, but it's the bits or the songs, you know, like what's the chorus? Okay, that's the part that makes everyone laugh. What's the tag? That's the pre-chorus, you know, and I think of it in that way. But when you start watching people, you start seeing it that way. And even when you're, you know, even with Eric, when we were listing out the back of the record, you know, for the bits, it's the song titles, you know, it's like, it's just all right there, except, you know, there's no music, you know, on it, but there's a message, there's a meaning, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot behind it.
Right. We are going to take a little break. We're going to gather our thoughts. We're going to drink some water.
Okay.
We're going to sweat in this sauna.
Yeah.
It's a
I feel like it's Bikram yoga.
Give us a call. 1-800-893-9562.
Downward dog, everyone.
We're going to play some tracks from pro skater Mike V, his new band with Love Gray Ginn from Black Flag.
Is it Mike V in the...
No, he has a new band with Gray Ginn from Black Flag called Good For You.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to play some tracks.
Love Mike V, man.
Playing some tracks from Good For You.
Solid dude, and he can throw down.
He could beat people up when he's on the Element Tour.
Yeah. You ever seen that video of him with the security worker or the three kids that come up and start, he fights all three dudes?
Oh, yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
And the guy's, talk about a family man. That guy's a family man.
Husband.
Yeah. Skater.
Skater.
Dad.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Throw down
positive
master.
Dude, too.
Positive.
He was here in January and was like,
love him.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to some Good For You. We'll get back to you in a few.
yourself.
We are back. Welcome to Los Angeles Nista. My in-studio guests, Joe Sib and Eric Griffin.
Hey.
Together, yeah.
Together at last.
No, that not Joe Sib. The great Sibiano.
GreatSibiano.com.
Hey. I'm sure a lot of people listening remember the great Sibiano. So if anyone needs me for a birthday party or an anniversary.
When I say I see that coming.
Oh, come on now.
I was completely serious. When I said I see that coming as your next installment, I see that. I'm saying that seriously.
Really?
Because, you know, you're
active.
No, no, no.
I'm trying to be serious.
No.
Or the fact that he did magic or the fact that you're encouraging him to do magic. I don't know what's worse.
Why not?
Security.
Do it once a year. You know,
1 year magic.
1 year magic. Oh, okay, wow. So the new Eric Griffin record's coming out on Side One Dummy.
March 12th.
There's some out of pre-order everywhere. Let somebody pre-order that. That's on iTunes right now for pre-order.
You can pre-order on iTunes. So go to iTunes. You just put in Eric Griffin with a K, E-R-I-K, Griffin. Some other little things will come up, but just look for Technical File. It's right there. And I was so excited to see that on iTunes. I stared at it for a long time. Just like, oh man, that's my, you know.
And there will be physical copies as well, right?
Oh, of course.
And you'll be selling those at shows?
Yeah, I'll sell them at shows and, you know. I don't know. I'll be on street corners. We'll mail order and things like that.
Right.
And
it's a pledge music campaign also.
We got a pledge music campaign with t-shirts, smoothie cups, an assortment of goodies on there.
You guys are like Kiss. You guys got all kinds of merchandise.
Eric's like Kiss.
Is there Side One Dummy coffins and Side One Dummy condoms?
No, we don't have anything like that, though. We don't have that. We have the stickers, the t-shirts.
We don't use condoms on Side One, please. This is Raw Dog.
Oh, man. Well, I guess, we have a caller. Hello. You're on the air with Los Angeles Nista, Eric Griffin, and Joe Sib. Who is this?
Hi, this is Grant Cotter.
Hey,
yeah,
Grant. We just found out you're part of the Side One family.
That wasn't planned.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in the family. They treat me way nicer than my regular family does.
So they're that good to you or that bad to you?
Oh, they're great to me. They treat me like a rock star. They give me donuts and coffee, and it's amazing. I love them.
When's your next show?
My next show, I'm actually performing on March 11th with Eric Griffin and Joe Sib at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Yeah, we'll be giving away tickets this week when the podcast goes up on iTunes tomorrow. So we'll have a few tickets for some lucky winners.
Hey, Grant, can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
How many bong loads have you smoked before calling us right now? This is the mellowest I've ever heard you in your entire life.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I didn't drink any coffee today. I'm trying to quit coffee and lean on to green tea, but green tea doesn't give me the kick.
Yeah, you got to stop that. Fuck that. Coffee's good for you, man.
Yeah, they say green tea is supposed to have that kind of thing, too, but it just doesn't do it. No. You got to, like, down some B12 vitamins with that.
Or the blonde.
The blonde
at Starbucks.
Oh, blonde, yeah.
The vanilla blonde, man. Have you had that,
yes,
Joe?
Yes, dude, come on.
Oh, man, that vanilla blonde is
what
the
Eric
best.
Griffin is. I'm going to ask for the Eric Griffin tomorrow.
Yeah, please.
But when I get off the subway at Hollywood and Western and go to the office, I'm going to say, can I have the Eric Griffin?
You take the subway.
Yeah, man. That's what this whole show's based off
Who
of.
Who are you?
I'm Batman. I'm the Mexican Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. No, yeah, the subway.
Subway, you're down with the bus.
Yeah, Los Angeles Nista. We're the only culture show that talks about public transportation in LA. We show people how to use public transportation.
You know, Batman would be Mexican, you know, because he was very good fixing things. And you know what I mean? He always had the Batmobile on.
Yeah, and he's always got car trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always stalling when you need it the most. So it's like, yeah.
There's
so, Grant.
There's a bit for you, Joe.
There you go. Thank you. Another bit. I'm getting album titles, bits.
Well, I don't know, man.
I'm coming here each week.
Did you hear that Joe used to be a magician?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew when he was a kid he used to do magic.
Oh, wow. You mean Grant knew this and I didn't know this?
We shared a road trip. We drove. I was going to tell you when we were in San Jose.
This is bullshit.
You know what it is? It's weed talk. When you smoke a lot of weed, you've got to find things to talk about.
You notice how
right?
The white comic on the label.
he gets told
Can
all the...
Can you do any magic tricks?
No, I haven't done... They're asking me to, Grant, but I haven't done any magic tricks yet.
Yeah. Why don't you do it at the show on the 11th?
No, come on.
The only magic Joe does is keep the budget down.
Yeah.
The budget disappears.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we had money for that. Nah, it's gone. Check it out. Magic.
So how much
weed? It's all magic.
How much weed did you smoke today?
Grant, any weed?
Oh yeah, look at this.
When you
smoke, I don't know if I can be admitting this on the radio.
Oh, okay. I'm just taking it because Joe started it.
Okay. All right, we'll leave that topic there. Grant's getting ready to record his comedy record April 11th.
So this is
where are you doing it?
Ongoing thing.
Ice House.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ice House. That's a good.
Remember the Ice House in Fullerton?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's funny? The Ice House in Pasadena, Van Halen used to play there. Little trivia for you. Fun facts. There you go.
Pasadena fun facts.
But which Van Halen though?
Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Not Van Hagar, dude.
No. Van Halen. Are you one of those? Are you a Hagar guy? Or you're a David Lee Roth guy?
I'm a Diamond Dave guy.
I'm a Gary Cherone.
That's pretty punk rock.
God, that's like this is like James Bond argument. You know, Sean Connery, that's Roger Moore.
I'm not into Ace Frehley. I like Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. There you go. I love Ace Frehley. Grant, but yeah, Grant's going to record his record on the 11th, and it'll come out during the summer.
Hey, Grant, you're from OC, right? Can you hear me?
I think he's just over it.
Is he taking bong rips?
Grant, are you back?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay.
Oh, we lost him.
We lost Grant.
Show's no, I'm over. Here.
Oh, there he is. Okay, hello? Cool. Hey, we were talking about you being from the OC.
Okay. Is it a bong break?
No,
bad reception.
No, it's magic. It's magic. It's magic.
That's fine.
My favorite thing is when
My
favorite thing is when Greg goes,
Can you hear me now?
You can hear me.
I'm here. Hello? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, Grant. We're just making fun of you right now. Hold on.
Okay.
I got the best way to, you know, push the show. We get you guys on the Red Line subway, and you post up a magic table.
Okay. Subway.
While the subway's going in LA, and Grant's taking bong rips.
Are you a vegan too?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't mean to go green. I just didn't want to have a car for a long time.
I understand.
I'm Mexican. I procrastinate.
I understand.
I'm on Mexican time, dude.
Just be
there at 9, I'll be there at 11.
There's just a lot of pretentious fucks in LA.
Mexican time.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, you know what? No, it's funny because a lot of people don't even realize that there's a subway in LA.
No, they know. It just doesn't go anywhere convenient or where people want to go.
Downtown to Hollywood? Downtown to Hollywood. Every 12 minutes.
Downtown to Hollywood.
Buy an easy pass for $34 a month. Divided by 30 days, you're paying $2.85 for unlimited use.
This is his passion right now.
How can I get from Glendale into Hollywood?
Yeah. Let me tell you, you can take the Metrolink, right, into Union Station.
Okay.
Right? And just get on the Red Line.
That's right.
And then 45 days later, you'll be...
45 days later, yeah. No.
How can I get from... What if I'm at Pico and La Brea? Okay, and I want to get to Universal City.
The new exposition line.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
No,
I do like that they're doing that one that goes to Santa Monica.
It's a new Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a new Los Angeles.
The new LA. It's happening.
45 years too late. You know what I mean?
The infrastructure.
There'll be flying cars in other cities, and we'll be like, "Have you been on the subway?"
It'll be the Jetsons, and I'll be asking people. Do you have a token for the subway?
You know where Grant actually grew up on was the Catalina Island. He had to ride a buffalo to school.
What?
Yeah, we didn't have trains.
Is this true?
No, it's true. He talks about it all the time. I don't know if he had did you really have to ride a buffalo?
No, I didn't ride a buffalo. I wasn't born in 1887. We had golf carts. It's like an electric buffalo, but better.
Wow. Did you live in the Wrigley Mansion?
No. The Wrigleys used to live there. Now it's just a hotel. And you can't even party in the hotel because you need to buy a room to go up there. None of us ever had enough money to do that.
Oh, gotcha. So you're from Catalina Island.
Yeah, the mean street, because there's only one.
Wow. Just when I didn't think he can be any whiter. He's not even on mainland Los Angeles. I love this. People are actually listening because they're hitting me up on Facebook. So I'm going to say hi to Jasmine Zapata.
Right. I want Grant to know that a friend of mine in San Diego, he's got a female fan base just waiting to see him in Los Angeles. People from San Diego are coming up to L.A.
Oh, yeah. Grant's an attractive guy. You know?
Women love Grant.
I know, and I don't appreciate that shit.
So
comedy's supposed to be ugly. This is what comedy is supposed to look like, okay? Not a fucking boy band.
Girls
you understand?
To see me?
So
women are coming to see
you. Yeah, Justin Timberlake of freaking comedy.
You know, you should make for his comedy record, it should be an NSYNC spoof.
That'd be great. You should.
The cover should be like a Justin Timberlake record by him.
Yeah,
like
dressed like that. A suit.
It's another good idea, man.
Yeah, man.
I should just put me on retainer.
You're A&R and everything right now. I love it. I don't know if Grant would back that as much as we would all back that.
No. Best thing to do is just put him on the Catalina Island and just take a photo from the helicopter.
On a buffalo. I want him on a buffalo.
Yeah, it'd be good. Well, you know what? I want to know.
Is Catalina known for buffaloes? Did I miss that in
Catalina Island has buffalo because in the 20s they brought buffalo over there to film a movie, and then they never took them off the island. So then the buffalo
The budget was cut. It's buffalo. The magician cutting the budget, so they left the buffalo there.
Bison meat is actually very delicious. You ever had some ribs?
No.
Oh man.
No.
Good stuff. Very tender, you know?
What? No,
Am I crazy?
No. It's when you were, you know what's funny is when you were talking about the ribs for a second, your eyes saw the ribs, and I saw in your eyes you seeing them. Like, you were so...
Oh, yeah, because I just... Yeah. Oh, there's this great place I go to, this Texas rib joint on
Overland. You're there right now. I can
and
see...
And she... Oh, it's just a black lady. She's like, you know, just like, ooh, baby, one of those. And just like, sit down, let me make you some ribs. And so I love that kind of stuff. It's like a comfort food.
So Grant, does he have a record coming out on Side One Dummy?
Grant's going to record April 11th at the Ice House in Pasadena, and then his record comes out this summer.
Great. And Grant, you excited?
I'm real excited. It's like a dream come true to be on Side One, because I grew up listening to bands like Anti-Flag and The Sounds, and the fact to even be on the same label as them is pretty insane. And I grew up going to the Warped Tour, and Side One puts out the Warped Tour compilation CD every year.
The Warped Tour doesn't have Catalina Island.
No, it didn't, but we would take a boat over from Catalina to go to Long Beach every year.
I'm trying to be funny in a world of comics here.
Oh.
Just don't do that ever. just stop.
So when you go to Starbucks tomorrow, ask for the Eric Griffin. You know what that is?
The blonde.
No, what is it?
It's the blonde coffee.
With honey.
Vanilla blonde with...
Black with honey.
Yeah.
Black with honey. Okay, I'm going to go in. Which
honey's
Starbucks
good. Honey's
go
a great, like, you know... Right? Just put honey on stuff. It's delicious.
And honey's the only food that lasts forever.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked to see you, Grant, at the show. I've heard nothing but great things about you. Like I said, you got like a... There's a Grant army of females in San Diego. Just like hitting me.
I just want to point out, he didn't mention one chick when he was talking about me. Just not even one.
Oh, wow.
I'm just throwing that out right now. So this is kind of bullshit. Just saying.
I need an army of chicks. Let's make this happen. I'm going to write this up with an army of chicks.
he just retitled his album. That's the name of it now.
Army of Chicks.
All right. Well, Grant, let's hear a joke. Make me laugh.
Why would you do that?
He's a pro.
Just like you asked me to do magic. Sometimes you just can't do it. All right, Grant, are you going to bust us out? Bust us out a story.
Look, he's come to the show on March 11th at the Laugh Factory. Eric,
there you go. That's a good plug.
Show. Yeah.
You want to see it, you pay for it.
There you go. You're a pro, Grant. That's why we love you.
I love that.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for calling.
Later, we'll Grant.
No problem. Peace.
Here's what you do. If you want a quick joke, you just take a bottle, all right, and you blow into it. That's a gay man farting.
Nailed it.
There you go.
That's why we signed him. Stuff like that.
Do you still...
If you like that, that record is full of just...
Innovative material, right?
Material that'll be around for 10 years. That's what
I'm
talking.
There's a section where I just drum, you know? I pour honey on...
I love how Grant
girls.
Just bailed. Okay, thanks for having me, guys. Late. Yeah,
you know what's rad is like...
Grant just said goodbye to the radio program. Like he was like with other people, and he was like, all right, let's say goodbye to the Skid Row
No, it was
podcast.
Great.
And back to you
Call,
guys.
Call, talked about bong loads, and just was quiet. And
later.
Then like, hey, I'm here. Bye.
I'm out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
So you know what? When you got here, we're talking about skateboarding a lot. Yep. You still skate.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what are some of your favorite spots?
You know what? Being in Glendale, I got the Glendale Verdugo skate park right there, which I love. And I love going to Pedlo skate park. Uh-huh. I love that. One of my favorite places to hit is Chino. That place rips.
It does.
Fontana's cool. And I love
Kentucky.
Yeah. Or just speed. People just bathtubs of speed out there. I remember when I first moved to LA, I was living in a house where this guy said, hey, we were all living in this apartment with my girlfriend, now wife. And the guy that ran the apartment building said, hey, if you ever need to cover rent, come talk to me. And I was like, all right. So I just thought like extra work. And one night I went over there and I'm like, yeah, he's like, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, you remember he said to cover rent? Like, do you do like film work or like, you know, what do you do? And he's like, all right, you drive out to Fontana, you pick up a package and you come back. And it was basically to do speed, like run speed. And I was just like, holy shit. No
way. Welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah, so welcome to LA. So when I drove out to Fontana, but when I went out to Fontana to skate, the park out there was excellent. But one of my favorite parks to skate is, I love going out to Palm Springs because they have a great park out there. There's just so many skate parks.
Did you ever skate the Nude Bowl back in the day?
No.
That was like an old pool that showed up in a lot of classic videos in Palm Springs.
Is that the blue one? Is that the one that's in all the Powell videos? You know the one that's in the Powell videos, the Bones Brigade, where they go out there and it's that blue bowl or the pink?
Peak Motel in Van Nuys.
Yeah, is that what it is? Oh,
that's the Peak Motel, yeah. And actually, they used to film a skate show there on Nickelodeon called Skate TV. Remember Skate TV?
With Skate Master Tate.
Dude, what's up?
Love him.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, when I first moved to L.A., he lived on Melrose and Gardner.
Skate Master Tate?
Yeah. Skate Master Tate.
He's our guest next week.
Are you serious?
No, I'm working on it.
Yeah. He jammed, too. He had a band. Yeah, he was right.
Well, no. So, did you see the Bones Brigade documentary?
Oh, dude. Went to the premiere in Santa Barbara. What's up?
That's heavy.
Yeah. Went up there. Was there. Like, they had the original Bones Brigade. Everyone except Tony, because he was in Australia. Stacy Peralta, you know.
We got to get Eric on a skateboard.
Yeah, because you guys are talking about this right now. It's just like going way over my head. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about right now. And I love your passion for it, too. You're just like, oh, dude.
Well,
bro.
No. Is it two skaters talking about skateboarding?
Yeah, this is like it's turned into a skater podcast. I love it. I just like seeing you guys. It's like if you guys were comic book nerds or something like that and you were talking, you knew the authors.
It's about
growing
down and like connecting, you know?
I'm not judging. Don't get all defensive about it over here.
I'm defensive.
Yeah, this guy's all, he's all like... And we got on the subway.
A while ago, they had like a
285 a day, dude. Just kidding.
A while ago, they had a Star Trek convention, and somebody's there was like, oh, man, Star Trek, those Trekkies are so lame. And I'm like, if they're lame, we're really lame because we just talk about music, you know, whether it's the Ramones or the Clash or talk about skateboard. It's like, it's the same thing, you know, it's the stuff people are into. And
exactly. It's just a different product.
Ears and the tight shirt with a little, you know, Star Wars icon on it.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I've been a longtime fan and, you know your work. So to actually like bond through skateboarding, it's like, well, you know, I don't see you around town a lot. When can we do that again?
I know.
So let's
I got to thank you, man, for having us in. And also thank you so much for, you know, giving us shout outs for Eric's record. I mean, we're excited. It's our first record. Yeah. It's our first comedy record on side one. And Eric, it means a lot to me, him doing it, because it really, to have our first.
That's your first one.
Yeah. But to have it with a guy that's been doing it for 10 years, that's on television and that sells.
Come on,
our
workaholics,
clubs.
Man.
I know.
It's a. You know, but Workaholics is very, like, it's that type of show, too. It's like, it's very, you know, there's something there connected, you know, the punk rock and what I'm doing. It's like, it's somehow connected. It's very tangible,
there's a thread that connects together.
Yeah, all the music thread, whether it's, you know, like, I feel that the music community and the comedy community is so similar. I mean, even like, you know, even with Grant, you know, like, he used to go to the Warped Tour. You know, it works out. Now he's going to host a night of Warped Tour stuff. You know, it's like, it's all coming together. But I really, you know, Eric, him saying yes, I feel, again, it's just like it was when we had the first band say yes. Like when Flogging Molly said,
It feels the same way.
It does feel the same way because you need someone to say, you know what, I'm going to give you a shot. You know, and now, which is the scary part, and I always get this feeling after the artist says yes is, oh God, I hope I don't fuck it up. You know, because like,
it's just funny because I felt all that he just said, I felt the same way. Because he's saying that I said yes, but I'm saying they said yes. So it's all the same feeling because I just felt like they're putting all this into it that I just don't think that any other company would have done it like
right.
that.
Right. And you know, it's funny you say you that know? Because I think when, there's a conventional way to do things in the entertainment industry. There's that framework that people don't want to go outside of. So maybe the excitement from Joe, even they haven't put out a comedy record. That's the excitement you need and the fans need.
Yeah, and when people say things like, and my buddy Gerard Carmichael told me this today, another very funny comic.
God, he's great.
But he said today, you want people saying no one's ever done that before. And when you hear that, that means you're doing something good.
Yeah.
You're doing something different, something exciting, something worthwhile, something the fans want to listen to, be a part of, be excited about. You could hear Joe's energy. That's real. It's tangible. You know, and so here I am. I'm just jumping on board with that. And then together, the synergy of side one, my comedy, the punk rock world, because those are the same people that like Workaholics. So it somehow connects together. And here we are. You know, it's something that's new and old at the same time, because of the way people receive entertainment these days. They're downloading, they're on their Xbox, on their PlayStation, they're on their on-demand. People aren't necessarily listening to comedy CDs like that anymore. No. So we're going, no, we want you to do that again. I want people to have that thing in their hand.
The physical product.
I want them to have that booklet in their hand and be like, open it up and see the pictures and see my thanks and just be like, oh, taking it out of the sleeve and putting it into the CD player or putting it in their car and just like enjoying that, because it sounds great. Like, I'm not talking about the material. I support the material. I stand behind it. But what I'm saying is, what Joe did when I meant earlier by editing is, it sounds great. Like, just, it sounds crisp and delicious to your ear. So, yeah.
Check it out.
I wish we had something to play now. We could have played a track.
Well, we could install it in the podcast. We could.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah,
put some snippets.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's do that. So right now you're going to hear a clip off of Eric's
record. Yeah, the title track. You're going to hear Technical Foul.
You're going to hear Technical Foul.
There you go.
Right now on Skid Row Radio.
Let's plug the show.
March 11th, next Monday. Show up at the show. If you want tickets, if you want to win some tickets right now, all you got to do is I'll give away 5 pairs of tickets right now. That's 2 people each to the show. And you just got to email us at, you ready for this? The Bare Bones, BARBONES show at gmail.com. The Bare Bones show.
And that's a variety show.
That's a variety show that we do each and every month at the Laugh Factory. But I'll give 5 pairs of tickets to see Eric Griffin, myself, and Grant Carter and Helen Hung, 8 o'clock show, Laugh Factory, this Monday, March 11th.
And please tweet at me, at Eric Griffin. At Eric Griffin. Tweet at me.
What's your website?
Instagram me. EricGriffin.com is my website. So if you email me or even, hit me up on Twitter, I'll put you on my personal guest list if you, do it once this show airs.
A Los Angeles Nista exclusive. Eric Griffin and Side One Dummy Joseph giveaway.
Eric doesn't respond, because sometimes he just says, no, I'm not going to, then you can hit me on Twitter. No, Eric, you always respond. Eric's great.
I love interacting with the fans, because the fact that I even have fans, it amazes me every time I run into them, and I see them every day.
You look forward to connecting with people.
I really do, because I feel like, you know what, this is like a once in a lifetime. I'm actually, when people say they're living the dream, you know, that's like so cliche to say that, but I'm literally living the dream.
Everyone's living the dream and partying like a rock star.
No, but it's just, man, it's incredible. Like, I was at Roscoe's today. I went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles before I came here, and I'm walking in the door, and a kid passes me, and he turns around and goes, hey, you're Eric Griffin. And he said my name.
Wow.
He said my first and last name. I was like, I'm a big fan of yours. And I'm like, no, wow. That's what all this, we're putting all that energy, and we put it into the record, and now we want just to take it to another level.
He gets recognized like in his car, like if he's driving. Were you driving on the 10?
Yeah, I was driving on the freeway, and some chick almost ran me off the road. It's like, Martez!
You know what? We got to do a video blog where we pull him into the subway.
Oh, here we go. This motherfucker in the subway.
Fucking subway.
This dude in the subway. Jesus Christ.
And take it from downtown to North Hollywood and see how many Eric Griffins we...
You know what? We'll do it. We'll have a Skid Row Studios... A vlog, let's do it. The Eric Griffin Subway Experience. I'm down to do it. You set it up and talk to our girl Jamie. We'll set that up and we'll do that.
Crazy. Let it all fall into place.
We got to give a shout out to Jamie too.
Big shout out to Jamie Coletto.
Jamie Coletto for everything that she does for us. Yeah. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah, she's great. Yep.
She does it with a smile on her face all the time. She's great.
Well, guys, that wraps it up.
We need hookers.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, Joe.
Jamie does everything.
That's some pretty mid-90s excess right there.
Yeah, but Joe has a secret, you know. He calls it, it's under the magician budget.
Oh. Joe, I can't wait to skate with you.
Maybe, and I'll do magic, man.
You know what? We should go to the new Nike skate park in downtown Los Angeles on 6th Street, right over the 6th Street Bridge.
Is it good?
It's killer.
I've never skated there.
Yeah, brand new.
Wow, what's the vibe like?
It's wood. It's a wooden skate park. It's bowl, it's street course. It's fun.
Okay. Is it big, small?
Medium.
Okay.
So it's not too gigantic like a Vans park or anything like that.
Yeah, it's always a bum out when you're like, okay, I just want to do a frontside grind, but not on 2 feet of vert.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Tight.
Yeah.
You want to be mellow.
I want to just do a couple frontside grinds, 50-50s. Flow. What's up?
Everything fast.
If I can do one Smith grind a day, it's like I'll live to be 100.
Well, you need that eye-hand coordination, eye-foot coordination.
You know what the trick is, though? There's always dudes that are like, you know, I skated when I was young, and they always want to come to the park and skate, and they show up in running shoes and like workout clothes that they do Pilates in. And I always go, okay, man. And I go, I'm going to tell you something right now. Did you skate? And they go, yeah, I've skated. I go, okay. And then I go, here's the number one rule for you not taking a slam. Do not try to do anything and learn a new trick that you weren't able to do when you put the skateboard down. Like if you were able to do inverts, try an invert. If you're able
to get used to the park first.
Used to the park. Yeah. But like I've seen dudes show up and they're like, you know, they're like, oh, they're doing frontside airs and backside airs. And I'm like, oh, cool. So you skated back in the day. But then there's always the guy that never tried a rock and roll or like an invert. And that's the guy that breaks his femur.
And he's trying to do it on 8 feet, an 8-foot bowl.
Oh, my God. I was there the other night.
Like 44. If you guys were talking about sewing, it would be just as much like, I'd be like, wow, these guys are really, you know.
Yeah. It's almost like you're like, Joe speaks another language.
Yeah, this is like, you're talking Martian right now to me. Yeah. I love it.
It's great, right?
I'm so interested.
Thank you so much for having us.
Dude, thank you. Joe Sib, Eric Griffin, that's a wrap.
This was great.
Podcast link up tomorrow.
Next time we're in here, let's turn the heat on, though. I'm freezing.
Joe is so positive that even a douchey thing like that to say sounded so like, you know,
so like soothing. It was a soothing.
Hey, buddy, next time we're here, make us even more uncomfortable.
Tell you what, there'll be a yoga instructor that comes with the heat. How's that?
Like being from yoga.
There'll be like some literature from the subway here. It's just like, you know, the subway was started in like, ugh. So kill yourself. I'm going to throw myself on the subway tracks.
Everyone,
if you keep talking about it.
If you're listening, man, when you're listening and you're done, click from here and please go to iTunes right now. Look up Eric Griffin. Check it out. E-R-I-K Griffin.
G-R-I-F-F-I-N. And pre-order this album. I want to be honest.
We went gold, right?
I want to have a monster opening week, you know? And this Joe's always like, Eric, he called me and went, Eric, I don't want you to, don't worry about the numbers, man. If we only sell like 13 albums.
It's not a numbers game no more. The new model of the music business, it's not out of the box numbers game no more.
It's about a marathon. But still, it feels good to have that, like, you know, foundation. I want to have the number one album, comedy album of the week. Yeah. Can I want that? Is that okay?
You can want that, and that's okay.
You see how the exec hat just came on? Did you hear it in his voice?
Well, not where we started.
Not even enthusiastic anymore. He totally just like flipped. He's like,
thank you for having me.
It's the heat, dude.
We're off, right?
It's the heat.
This guy's got multiple personalities right here.
Who's in there?
Yeah, who's in there?
Let me just say this. The people on the run line are saving money from gas, God. So they'll be able to buy a record. There you go. Discretionary dollars. And with that being said,
do you see what I'm saying?
That's a wrap.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for coming in.
This was great.
Both of you are beautiful.
You set up that subway thing. We'll do
it. Yeah. We'll leave you
next
now.
Next time I come here, I want to ride the subway here.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm going to. Yeah,
you're going to have to drive your car like 15 miles.
No.
Yeah. It'll take longer. Exactly. All right, just drive your car down to Staples.
You have to take a 45-hour bus ride with three transfers.
Take a bus to Orange County.
And then after 8 o'clock, the bus runs every 2 hours.
Yeah, every 2 hours. But then you're on the train like, wow, this was really... What a great idea.
Can you get me back to Glendale?
Right, can we go? He's got to go. Right. Come on. Thanks, man. Peace.
Take care. Bye.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you.
This is why when you're on an airplane, it's the fucking worst, right? You ever just sat down in your seat and you see the mom coming with the baby and you're just thinking, oh, shit. This is going to happen right now. This is going to happen. But then you really start to panic because behind the mom is the big fat lady. So you're like, oh, no. Can we paper, scissors, rock this shit right now? I don't want this to happen to me right now. Listen, look, nobody wants to have this conversation on an airplane with someone sitting next to you. Excuse me. long flight.
there's a lot of side titty meat on my seat. It's just a lot of titty is all in my area. I mean, I literally can't feel my arm right now. I can't get the armrest. How about I push and you pull? Nobody wants to have that conversation. It's uncomfortable, you know? Yeah, baby. That's why I feel like when you're checking in online, they should show you where the babies are on the seating chart. So you can pick your seat accordingly, you know, like, you know what I mean? You should actually have to fill out like a 20-question survey about yourself. Do you bathe? Do you brush your teeth? Do you fart? Do you talk? Do you have daddy issues? Have you been molested? Full medical history. So they do a match like eHarmony. Meet your soulmate on the way to Chicago. You know what I mean?